Once again, it's a joy to see all of you today. And I thought, you know, we will I'll try to complete the book of Habakkuk by today. And it's a very powerful book because it's a book that speaks for today. It also tells us about how you and I can depend on God and also just lean on Him at every moment of our life. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Father, we thank you for another day that you have given to us. Another time, O God, we can come together as a church, as people who love you. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us access to your word, that we can read, meditate, and apply it to our lives. Help us, O Lord, to live a life for you as we hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. You know, just to give you a summary of Habakkuk chapter 3, it's a very powerful chapter because if you realize, chapter 1, Habakkuk was just coming to God with a lot of complaints, right? He was coming to God in verses 1, 2, and 3. In verse 2, he says, "How long must I call for help?" Right? And Lord, you're not listening. I'm just calling you for help, but you're not listening. I'm saying, I'm crying out, violence, violence, but you are not saving. Can you imagine? He was just coming with a lot of complaint. In chapter 2, you realize, you know, God speaks to Habakkuk, he replies. And then chapter 3, you see there is a change that happens altogether. Habakkuk is just singing a beautiful song of faith, of love towards God, right? And if you look at chapter 1 again, you will see, you know, Habakkuk is troubled. He's troubled looking at the world, looking at his people, looking at the righteous, looking at his own nation, looking at the Chaldeans, the Babylonians who are just coming after the chosen people. And then in chapter 2, you realize he's taught, God is teaching him. I think when our hearts are troubled, when we are going through rough times, the Lord has not left us alone. He speaks to us, right? He speaks to us through his word. And in chapter 2, we realize God is speaking to Habakkuk. And then in chapter 3, is triumphant, right? He's just praising God, just worshiping God. And chapter 1, he was just wondering. He was worrying. And then chapter 2, he was just watching God speak to him. And then chapter 3, there is a change that's happening. He's worshiping and witnessing God. If you look at the Hebrew Bible very carefully, it's very interesting. Even if you look at the tone of the language, of the way it was written, Habakkuk in the first two chapters, he's just struggling before God. His tone is totally different, right? Like a very chaotic person is just struggling before God and say, "Lord, what's happening? You know, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated to see what's happening among the righteous. I'm frustrated, oh God, because the Chaldeans are worse than us. I can't imagine that you are sending them to destroy us." But then there is an entire change. There's a shift. There's a paradigm shift that happens in the language or even in the mood of the chapter. The chapter speaks about, you know, is joyful. You know, I was asking myself, why is, you know, Habakkuk so joyful? He says, even the fig tree does not, you know, bear fruit. I am just going to rejoice. Did God do something different? If you realize, the Lord did not change his mind. Habakkuk prayed, and God said he's going to send the Babylonians to capture these people. They're going to have some difficult times. It did not change at all. Nothing changed, my friend. But what was happening? But Habakkuk was just praising God. I think there's a wonderful lesson that we learn from this particular chapter. Even though things does not change in my life, I think Habakkuk is speaking to us, right? That I need to trust God in every situation in life, even when you don't understand it. Even though you don't understand what is God trying to do. Even though, you know, nothing is changing in this world, changing in my life. I've been just knocking at the door of God and I don't see God hearing me. But I'm still going to trust God, but this time I'm going to rejoice in Him. Can you imagine? Not only just trusting Him, but I'm going to have joy in my life. I'm going to live a life of peace, even though there is no peace around me. This great person said, if you look at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you will be depressed. But if you look at God, you will be at rest. Right? I think, yes, when we look at the world, we are distressed. We do not know what's happening in the world today. Right? Nothing good. It's always only the good thing is iPhone 10 is out. That's all. It's coming out very soon. That's all. Right? Other than that, you don't. But you look within, right? You become depressed too in your life. What's happening? But when you look at God, and I think God gives us rest. So the third chapter is a chapter that speaks to us, saying that we need to trust God in every situation. It might be a good situation. It might be a challenging situation. It might be a situation that you feel torn apart, right? Even you don't understand. Even God doesn't answer your prayer. Even though you feel that, you know, God is not to be found, as if God is missing. Even though I don't sense His presence in my life. Yes, the Lord is there, even though, but I don't sense it. But I still trust Him. Dear friends, I do not know where you are. You know, maybe some of you are going through some times in your life. You know, you have been just waiting for God for so long. But the Lord says, just trust me. It might not change, right? But just trust me. Right? There may be something that's happening in our career life, or even in our studies, in our families, whatever it is. You've been seeking God. You are asking God to be merciful. You're asking God to show His compassion. But nothing is happening. If God does something that is, you know, according to your prayer, that's wonderful. Praise be to God. And if the Lord doesn't, there is always a reason. And praise be to God. And that's what Habakkuk is saying. Let's look at this particular chapter, right? The first thing I think Habakkuk is teaching us from this particular chapter, he says that we need to revere God. In other words, revering God. In other words, we need to honor God, right? Have reverence for Him. Look at the word very carefully. You know, firstly, he says, his fear, I'm afraid, and I stand in awe. Right? When I look at the word very carefully, in chapter 3, he says, Lord, I've heard of your fame, and I stand in awe of your deeds. You know, I've heard, Lord, I've heard about the report. He's actually talking about chapter 2. Lord, I've heard that this is what you're going to do. Right? It doesn't look pleasing. It doesn't look wonderful, right? This is not what I wanted in my life. I have heard about your report, and he says, but I fear. You know, Habakkuk is not talking about, you know, that, you know, because, Lord, you're going to do this, I'm afraid of this. Very interesting, you know, if you look at the Hebrew book, right? Let me say the Hebrew text again. The word fear is used differently in the Hebrew text. It's something like, you know, no, when you go, you know, the first time my family, we went to Niagara Falls, it was wonderful. How many of you have gone to Niagara Falls? If you know, you are not, if you have not visited, probably, you know, it will take away your citizenship. You know, it was wonderful, gorgeous, marvelous. You just name it, you know. It's spectacular. Sometimes we do not have words in the dictionary to describe, you know, when you are there, the feelings you have. But can you imagine diving into Niagara Falls? It's dangerous. It can kill you, right? It can be violent. There is no escape. That's the way Habakkuk is using the word, I'm afraid and I stand in awe. In other words, Lord, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, you're so loving, you're so kind, you're so merciful, you're so full of grace. At the same time, O God, I stand in awe because you're a God who can judge me. You're a God who can throw me into the lake of fire. You're a God who can discipline me. Like 1 John talks about it, you know, and that's the way he's saying, you know, I fear you. I just marvel at you. I marvel at the things, your greatness. At the same time, I'm afraid of you because this God can bless me. This God can also discipline me. This God can give me blessings in my life like Job. At the same time, this God can make Job's life miserable. Everything in Job's life was taken away. I think that's how Habakkuk is saying, you know, Lord, I fear you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a great writer, a theologian, said, you know, this is the first commandment, the entire gospel, fear God instead of the many things when we fear. I think we need to have that kind of fear. Yes, how do I trust God? I think I trust God by having reverence toward Him. I know He's a great God. I know He's a wonderful God. But let's not take His love for granted, my friend. Let's not take His mercy for granted. Let's not take His compassion for granted. Yes, He's a loving God. But that is the time, I think, it comes, right? When God is the judge. And then you will see that God rules according to His just, to His righteousness. So that's the way He looks at God, and then, you know, in His personal life, and then His prayer. What was His prayer? Can you imagine? He sees God, and now the posture here is very interesting. As I told you, he was standing, right? And now the posture here is more of a leaning kind of a posture. He's just leaning before God. Lord, you know, I just honor you. And he says, you know, Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In other words, he's saying, so as I told you, the posture is more of a humility, and he's saying, Lord, I see your greatness, I see your wonder, I just kneel down before you. And then he says, revive your work in the midst of the years. In other words, he's saying, Lord, help me to return back to life again. Revive me again. Right? And the very interesting way he uses the word, give me life again, that my life will come back to you. Not just life again, that I will live a life, but I'll live a life for you alone, for Jesus Christ alone. And that's the way he's using the word here. Lord, I want to honor you through my life, O God. I want to trust you, even though it doesn't make any sense, right? You know, nothing is happening in my life, but I'm just going to fear you. I'm going to love you, and I know you're a just God, you're a righteous God, you're a compassionate God, and you're a God I need to be afraid of too. And he says, you know, Lord, I just come before you. Lord, give me life again, and let this life come back to you. Come back to you. A.W. Tozer is another, revival will come prayer is no longer used as a substitute of obedience. You know, sometimes we think, you know, yes, pray. Yeah, you know, God will bring revival. Yes, I'm not against that. And you know, I think the Bible speaks about it. You know, the early church did pray. At the same time, I think, you know, they were praying that their lives would be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, you know, they were called, you know, people who were changing the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when a person honors God, what is he doing? He knows God. He fears God. He's amazed of God. He knows that, you know, without God, he can do nothing in this world. And he comes pleading. Give me life again. Restore me again. You know, and he realizes it's only God who can do the redemptive work in his life. And so he's pleading. What is he pleading? The last one, if you look at it, he's pleading. He's pleading, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. You know, very interesting. He doesn't say, Lord, take away the punishment away from us. No. Even when we have been disciplined, Lord, please remember us. Lord, please remember us. He could have easily said, Lord, if you are God, you should take away all difficulties in my life. Lord, show your power. Take away everything, every pain, and struggles in my life. But he says, no, 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 in wrath, even though we are under your wrath, under your anger, Lord, show us mercy. Show us mercy. I think it's important for us to have a fear for God. I think the application from this particular thing, are you amazed of who God is and what he can do? Are you amazed who God is? He's a loving God. He's a wonderful God, right? But he can do things that is beyond your imagination and even my imagination. Do you take God's mercy and compassion for granted in your life? You know, sometimes we say, you know, God is forgiving. I'll go back to him. God will forgive me. I'll go back to him. He will forgive me. Go back to him. He'll forgive me. But there is always a limit, right? There is always a limit. But when he comes as a judge, there is no more forgiveness, right? And so God has given us life, and you know, we have the Holy Spirit of God living in our lives. And so let's not take God's mercy and God's compassion for granted. You know, I think let's honor him and say, like Habakkuk prayed, revive in me, O Lord. Give me life, and let this life be for you, that I'll be going much more stronger and deeper in my faith. And let me not take your mercy for granted. Let me not take your compassion for granted. Let me see who you are. Enjoy you are. Enjoy you. Secondly, I think when you look at it, Habakkuk, you know, he was just reflecting on God, verses 5 to 7. I'm not going to go through the entire, you know, the passage of verses 5 to 7, but let me just walk through verses 5 through 7. If you look at these verses, he's actually speaking about God, right? In verse 5, he says, God came from Taman, right? The Holy One from Mount Paran. In other words, actually, he's talking about, you know, God was so powerful that he led the people of Israel from bondage. So in other words, he was just taking time, just reflecting, sitting down, thinking about, you know, what God has done in the past. He's just reviewing, right? Rewind button kind of a thing, just looking at God's greatness and wonder and all that. Some of you might not see this word, Selah, S-E-L-A-H, right? NIV might not have it. Certain versions you will see in verse 3, end of verse 3, end of verse 9, and end of verse 13. It means, Selah means, right, stop for a while, pause, take a break, and reflect. That's the meaning of that word. In other words, you know, after verse 3, you'll realize, you know, Habakkuk is singing, he pauses for a while, not to just take, just to catch his air, nothing of that sort. He's just reflecting what God did in history. I think it's important. I think Irene also just said, right, we need to remember who God is and what God has done in our lives. If we just go on, it says in verse 4, his splendor was like the sunrise. And then in verse 5, he says, plague went before him, pestilence followed his steps. In other words, you know, some scholars say it could be about the 10 plagues, right, when Israel was just leaving Egypt, you know, the 10 plagues that God brought. And it can also mean when God walks, what happens? I think his holiness is such that the wicked are perishing. Pestilence comes upon them. Judgment comes upon them. And in verse, you know, if you just move on, you'll see that God stood and shook the earth. It means that, you know, he's a God who sees everything. Nothing is hidden in the sight of God. And it moves on. It shows God's sovereign power. In verse 7, it says the tents of Cushan, right? And if you look at history very carefully, what was happening, the tents of Cushan, it talks about the Midianites. The Midianites were coming against the people of Israel. And so Gideon was just leading the people, and God gave victory. God gave victory. So Habakkuk was just thinking about it. This God gave victory through our leader Gideon. And so he's just reflecting on God's power, sovereign, and he was the protector. And then if you move on to verse 8 to 15, you will also see, you know, he talks about dividing of the river in verse. Then he says, were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Were you wroth against the streams? And so he's talking about actually the dividing of the Red Sea, right? In a language, you know, it's talking about God's power. That God was protecting his people when they were just living Israel. They were just walking through the Red Sea. Habakkuk was just taking a time, reflecting what God did in the past. His awesome presence was there. His astonishing power was revealed. And from the following verses, if you read, he's actually talking about, you know, God had control over individuals and nations. He destroyed nations. He was a deliverer. He was delivering his people. He was protecting his people, right? He was a sovereign God. He was a powerful God. And so he was just talking about each and everything. In verse 11, he says, the sun and moon stood still. Can you remember? During the time of Joshua, right? So he's remembering. Can you imagine the sun and the moon's not functioning for a while? It cannot, right? But I think in the time of Joshua it happened, and the Lord heard the cry of his people. Selah. I think it's important for us, you know. Sometimes it doesn't, you know, sometimes we don't understand why, but the Lord says, no. Take time, reflect. Look at your life, what I've done in your past. That time I saved you. I formed you in your mother's womb, right? I gave you life. Even you did not know me, you know, but I knew you. And these were the incidences in your life that you saw my loving hands. I was there for you, right? I was just saving you. I was with you. Yes, I disciplined you. I was very firm with you. I think that's what Habakkuk was, just sitting down, taking time and reflecting on our life. I like this hymn. I'm a guy who likes more hymns. And this hymn is, count your blessings, name them one by one, right? And sometimes it goes like this, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Sometimes it's good for us, if you start your day, just count just one blessing. Just name them one by one. It will surprise you, right, what God has done. I think it's important, my friends, I think, to take time to reflect what God has done. When you're going through rough times in your life, challenging moments in your life, as if God is not present, God is silent, as if God is so angry in your life, God says, you know, take time. Think about the things that I've done in your life, right? The kind of, you know, deliverance. I gave you life. I blessed you in this way. Yes, I disciplined you. I was very firm with you. And these were the things, it's incidents in your life that you have seen my hand, and you have experienced my hand in your life. And so Habakkuk is just reflecting and thinking about all these things. I was looking at the text very carefully and also comparing with other texts. It looks like, you know, the Bible says around 200 times to remember what God has done in our lives. 200 times. Can you imagine? Remember, remember, remember. 200 times throughout the scriptures. And God wants us to remember. When was the last time we sat down and we just remembered? Right? Whenever we get up in the morning, what do? We remember. We want to do things for the day. But let me challenge you, take a moment to remember what God has done. Just one good thing, one way the Lord has actually saved you. That becomes a motivation to know that God is in control of our lives, my friend. Let me finish with this. Right, the application, if you look at it, am I thinking rightly about God? What's your view about God today? Right. Am I thinking rightly about him? Do I know that he's a powerful God? He's a sovereign God, right? He's a God who can, you know, judge me, discipline me, He's a God who might not even, you know, answer my prayer immediately. He might want me to wait. Teach me about patience. Teach me about humility. Right? A.W. Tozer, right, he says, a right conception of God is basic, not only to systematic theology, but to practical Christian living as well. Right? I think the right idea, view of God is important. It's important. I was looking at a study that was done in America. I don't have a study that was done in Canada. You know, people have a different view about God. Very interesting. You know, some in this country, I think what was happening, they look at God. There are four views about God. One is he's an authoritarian God. He's a judging God, right? He requires all these in my life. And certain percentage of Americans believe he's a benevolent God. In other words, very loving, non-judgmental. Another view is some Americans are of the opinion that this God is a very critical God, right? He's delayed in his judgment. He's little engaged in the world, in our lives. And that's why I don't see him much, right? There are moments I tend to experience him, but there are moments I don't see him. And then there's another view. They say that it's a distant God. In other words, he created the cosmos, right? And he's a distance force. He's somewhere there, but not here, kind of a thing. What's your view about God? Because if I see this God as a loving God, you know, if I have a right concept about my God, it will help me to have a right Christian living, my friend. That's important. Right? That's important. You know, if I see if God is so merciful, yes, yeah, it doesn't mean I can just continue sinning, doing a lot of sin again and again. Because I should also have the view that this God can discipline me. So that invites me to say, you know, yes, I cannot keep on sinning. I need to live a life that is expected by Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what's your view? What's your view about God? And lastly, Habakkuk finishes with this. You know, he says, can you move the slide for me? Yes. Lastly, I think Habakkuk says, you know, I'm going to rejoice in God. And let's read that verse. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Can you imagine? You know, I do not know how many of us will say, you know, if I don't have anything, I'll rejoice. I go to the bank machine, you know, and I put my card inside, nothing comes out, and I rejoice. Right? I go to the supermarket, I buy the things, then I realize the cashier says, you got no money, and I rejoice. You might think I'm crazy. Right? You might think, you know, something is wrong with me. But Habakkuk says, you know, and in the way he talks about, he's talking about permanent crops here. He's talking about grapes that was, you know, crops that was more permanent, fig trees were permanent crops. And he was also talking about cattle and all that. There are temporal things. And so he's saying, even the permanent stuff is taken away from me. I will rejoice in God. Even the temporal things that are taken away from me, I will still rejoice in God. Nothing is going to shake me, right? I will be still joyful. That's the way Habakkuk is speaking. Can you imagine? This man started by complaining to God. He was frustrated and said, Lord, how long? You're not listening. You're not coming and saving us. And then he realizes, he hears the report of God. He sees that God is speaking to him, and immediately he sees his life. He focuses on his life and he stands in awe and says, even all these things are taken away from me, I'm happy because All these things are not going to be permanent in my life, but God is going to be permanent in my life. And that's what I need. Remember we just sang the song, Jesus is my life. It's wonderful to sing, my friend, but can that song be a reality in our lives today? We say, I surrender all. Wonderful song to sing. But do we surrender all to Jesus and say, Lord, my life belongs to you. Even nothing is given to me. I'm yours. It's always my desire that our songs should become realities in our life. It's wonderful to sing. Right? But whether, like Habakkuk, we will say, Lord, because you are what I need in my life. It is all I need, and that's you. And then, right, that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. I gave you some cross references for you to look at. Right? He says, do not be afraid of those who kill your body, but fear the one who can destroy your soul and body. Right? Fear the one who can destroy your soul and body. And so, dear friends, if something is taken away from us, will you still rejoice? If yes, then your trust in God is much more stronger and firmer. And not only that, he finishes by using this word. He says, he makes my feet of a deer. And then he says, you know, the Lord makes my feet as a deer. And God is my strength, and he enables me to tread on the heights. I was looking at the word very carefully. Very interesting way Habakkuk's speaking about it. He said, the feet of my feet. In other words, I know ladies will be happy here today. In the Hebrew text, it talks about it's a female deer. Right? It's not about a man's. Because a female's deer, you know, when you look at the legs or the paws, you know, it's totally different. It's designed differently. It is able to climb challenging, difficult, rough terrains, and it will still go. And that's the way Habakkuk is actually using the word. It's not the female deer, but the one who designed it. It's God. And so he says, in Lord, I will still go, right? I'll be firm in my footing. High places, it means challenging moments, much more difficult moments. More than the fig tree does not bud, right? Even there are no vines, right? Even everything is taken away, I'm still willing to go for you to high places, Lord. And I'm going to be much more firm, stronger now, because you know why? You are with me. Jesus, you are with me. And you know, he's just rejoicing in that. Can you imagine? He's saying, Lord, you are with me. I'm going to face this challenging moment in my life. It's going to be difficult, but I just rejoice because I'm not alone. You are with me. Let me encourage you, my friend, wherever you are in your life today, right? I think, you know, we need to ask ourselves, how do you respond when trials and difficulties come to your life? Right? And who and what is your source of strength today? Can we say, Lord, it's you. Even though you bring me, right, to much more difficult times, I'm still going to be firm, stronger, never giving up in my life. Let's trust God, my friend. You know, it's as we said earlier, you know, when you look at the world, you feel distress, right? When you look within, you're depressed. But when you look at God, you find rest. And so may God continue to help us. I think, and that's what Jesus is actually calling us. He says, oh, come unto me. Just come. Just come, as I told you. Jesus is inviting us to come to deeper waters. Right? He doesn't want us to just fish by the seaside. Like Paul says, he doesn't want us to just drink milk. Let's go to ocean fishing. And Jesus told the disciples, let's go into the deep, because you might feel much more fishes over there. I think God is inviting us to trust him, because he is my strength. He can be trusted. You know, he's a God who's always there for us. And then I think in 1 Corinthians, if you realize it, right? Paul says in verse chapter 4, verse 8, right? We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, right? But, and then persecuted, but not abandoned. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. Only Christ is able to help us, my friend. And not only that, he says, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Yes, the Lord's death saves me. And I want to live a life for him. The life of Jesus is revealed in me. Let me finish with this. My wife and I had an opportunity to go to Israel. It was a fun time when we went to the Dead Sea, right? I don't know how many of you, if you go to Israel, you must visit Dead Sea. You know, we were trying to swim, right? And I realized in the Dead Sea, you cannot get drowned. You might feel as if you're going down, but if you just take it easy, you'll float. Right? If you just take it easy, you float. When I was doing that together with my wife, my boat, we were floating, you know. I was just telling myself, you know, it's something like Jesus. Right? Just let God, right? And he will raise you up. You'll never get drowned. It's whether you want to allow God to control your life today. Whether you will say, Lord, I trust you. No matter whatever situation it might be in my life, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to fear you. I'm going to, Lord, be amazed at you. I'm going to reflect each and every day, oh God, when certain things are not happening. I'm just going to reflect on the things that you have done in my life. And I'm going to rejoice, even though what I'm asking for is taken away from me. Jesus is my